This hour of the Overdrive podcast is brought to you by Felix. Embarrassed to talk about erectile dysfunction in person? Felix can connect you to a doctor online to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.
This was always going to be a lock. It was probably a lock by, 8:30 last night. 9:30 last night. What a weekend in the city of Toronto. What a week for the Leafs. The Leafs are red hot. They take all three in California. Four straight on the road after they lost to Pittsburgh last week. And I saw a stat today. The first team since the 77-78 Habs to win four in a row on the road by three or more goals, which is exactly what they did. They beat the Islanders 3-0 and then beat the California teams big. Leafs have won 14 of 16. They are absolutely on a heater right now. The Jays are making signings. The Argos are in the East Final. Shout out to the Argos. Raptors, bit of a different story, but it's a good Monday here in Toronto. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 online. TSN1050.ca. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. How we feeling?
I just don't get it. Like, usually, if that was a four-game road trip where they lost every one and it was ugly, a bunch of tweets would surface and pop up, and they would say, you know what they would say, Hazy? Can't wait to hear the boys on Monday. How come it's not like that? How come the tweets aren't like that when it's all good? There was doom and gloom at the beginning of the season, and I was kind of on board. It wasn't pretty. It was kind of bad play. They looked terrible. After the disappointment, they're one of the best teams in the league right now. And don't bring in the let's see what they do in the playoffs nonsense. For right now, if you want to be present in life and live in the right now, they're awesome. They're good. They're amazing.
They're playing
top
well.
Top to bottom, they're outstanding.
That's where I'm going to ask you guys, because that's all I've heard from people. Like, that literally is like, I'm like, yeah, they're playing amazing. Look great. Look, goaltending's been great. D have rounded in. Like, Justin Hull and, you know, Muzzin, like, that was kind of a little bit of a soft spot for people, a couple weeks ago. Everyone's looks good. Everyone's, knock on wood, is healthy, all of that fun stuff. All you're talking to a buddy today is like, nah, well, we'll see. Like, I'm like, is that all you got? Like, is, okay, let's see what happens 6 months from now. Literally, six months, not even.
That's the problem with it is, and I understand it. I get it. I don't know what this means come April and May. I can't answer that. Nobody can answer that. The Leafs can't answer that. Sheldon Keefe, Dubas, Shanahan, any of the players. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But it's very difficult, and I'm with you, it's very difficult to avoid that conversation because it is the elephant in the room. I'm not even sure that's appropriate. It's not the elephant in the room. It's right in your face.
Just,
I mean, it's not
happened.
Like people are looking past it. It's everywhere. I sent a tweet out last night, very mundane. You know, top to bottom, outstanding performance, major league theme song coming in tomorrow. And I got the same responses. Not buying it, not into it, I don't care, doesn't matter. And listen, if you choose to live that way, I get it. I understand the scars. I got them too. We've all lived through it. This team hasn't won a playoff round in 17 years. And there have been countless times in the past where they've given you reason to believe it's going to be different, and then they fall on their face. They might do that in April and May. But if you're going to avoid what's in front of you, it's going to be a long grind. You're missing out on some very entertaining play. You're missing out on, quite frankly, the best regular season performance I have seen out of this team in maybe 15 years, 20 years. Like, they just rolled through California and just smacked people around. And, yeah, those California teams aren't great, but smacking them around. Like, get out of my way. Anaheim thinks they're a good team. They're up and coming. They didn't look like it last night. The Leafs just walked in there and said, move. You're out of the way. We're taking 2 points. We're going home. They're businesslike. Remember the game in Chicago, and that's when it all changed. Because the game prior to the one in Chicago was when they were down in Carolina. They got manhandled. And they were awful at the start of the year. That was a fact. And you're right. There were a lot more people yelling and screaming, I knew it, this and that and the other. And I was watching it live, too, and I was nervous for them. I thought, psychologically, they can't get over what happened in Montreal. Maybe there's weaknesses here that are being exposed already. What's going on with this team? And they all paid lip service to this first intermission, powwow, kumbaya in Chicago, and then somehow get out of there with 2 points, and they haven't looked back. They've won 14 of 16, and there's some really good competition in there. They've got another great team in town on Wednesday, a great challenge with Colorado in town. Yeah. But, man, they're playing well top to bottom. Big boys are rolling. Defense is there. Goaltending's there. The depth is there. Joseph Wall's numbers are good. He's winning games.
That's
guys,
what I said.
It's a good scene in Toronto.
On
very
the panel
good.
Last week, it was like, it's not all about Austin Matthews ripping home goals and Mitch Marner getting toe-drag assists right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's mm-hmm. not about right. individuals just saying, oh, look at this. This is so awesome. And the team's winning. It's like, it's just, I don't know, it's stuff you talk about in meetings and about buying in and team first and all that stuff. There's a purpose to it, and it's just, it gives them a chance to win every night the way they're playing. You mentioned it, goaltending is amazing. Like, how many, usually it's like, at once a week there's some kind of goaltending problem where it's like, God, what are we doing with this guy? Is Hutch going in, or is there right. some kind of issue with Freddie Anderson's groin or whatever? This is as solid as goaltending as you can ask for. And then yeah. everything on top of it. It's just everything's real good. And maybe that's boring to say, and that's why people don't say, oh, I can't wait to hear you guys on Monday. But it's damn good right now. And you'd like to but the thing is, it's like, what do you do with this team going forward to continue to climb up the standings? It's like, do you add to it, or are you just going to say, you know what, this year, screw it. You guys just go get it yourself. Is that getting ahead of it and saying just enjoy what's going on right now? It's just I like watching it. It's fun to watch.
I think you're going to have a little bit of both, though. Like, I think you're constantly in assessment mode if you're Sheldon Keefe and Kyle Dubas, where you're like, you know what, like this, would like to see a little bit more here and there. But you have the luxury, and you're winning your banking points. So, you know, at that point, you go, where do we feel like our pressure points are? As you get deeper in, and this is, you're a quarter of the way into the season. There's a lot of positives to draw off of, but I think they're constantly assessing and going, what do we think on a wish list, short term, long term? And you know, there's always house cleaning. You know, Jack Campbell needs a contract for next year. That's small. I mean, but it may be big looking at the future of the Leafs, not the right now, that type of stuff. So I think, oh, you enjoy it. But I think, you know, I saw Sheldon's interview before the game yesterday, and Masters was asking him about, you know, are you feeling good? Are you concerned last game on the road trip and that? And he was like, listen, we're business as usual. We've got a little bit of a turnkey thing going on right now, and we just want to focus on playing every night. And that's the one thing I think they are focused short term, but big picture, they're always looking to add because you're going to have measuring sticks along the way. You're going to face Colorado on Wednesday. You're going to face Tampa eventually and see how do we match up against these guys going deep into the playoffs, because eventually you're going to have to go through some of these big teams because you're, you know, proving to be one of them as well.
There's a couple of different things to break down about where they're at. Could it be different in 2 weeks or a month? Absolutely. The tone is going to change. That's the beauty of a long season. Is it goes up and down, but if you are businesslike and you are legit, and the Leafs were last year during the regular season, what maybe stopped people from fully committing to it was the nature of the COVID bubble, all-Canadian schedule, which I understand, but now they're playing American teams, and they're playing very well. The way they're built, they are second in the league in goals against per game. The number one team as of last night was the Flames, who are giving up exactly 2 goals per game, which is an astonishing stat. The Leafs are number 2 at 2.13. That's a really quality statistic. They're top 10 defensively, top 10 offensively, top 10 power play, top 10 PK. Like, across the board, this is a really good team and a well-built team. But if you're seeking something out as a fan, looking for something to be engaged, because I understand it, I get it, the fact that the playoffs lurk in the background and you're afraid of having your heart broken again, committing, jumping on the wave, and then they lose in 7 or something like that. That might happen. I can't shield you from that. The team can't right now. But pursuing the top spot in the division is a race worthy of chasing and a race worthy of following, because if you finish 2nd or 3rd, you're playing likely Tampa or Florida.
Jesus, and we got graphs and stuff on this show.
Oh, we're flying. Joe
this.
From the
Look
bridge.
At it.
Everything up on TSN4.
Yes,
it's a beauty
Joe.
Right now. Holding on to that top spot, and we got a long runway here, man. We're talking 60 games. Tampa will be heard from. Florida's a really good team. Like, this is going to be a race. 3-headed monster. I'm not sure if Boston gets back into the race to that capacity, but I wouldn't put it past them based on their history. But finishing with that top seed in the division, there's your race. There's your carrot. There's something you want to track closely, because it is very important to try to pursue that and play the Rangers in the first round as opposed to Tampa, right? Or whoever it might be, whichever way the cards fall. And I think
the
Leafs understand
that. You talked about being scared and brokenhearted in the past, Hayes. I wouldn't be afraid. Like, if by watching what I've seen from the Boston Bruins and maybe their goaltending turns and they turn it around and they become the Bruins again. But as of right now, I wouldn't be like, oh, God, Boston again. Not right now.
Well, you say that, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, May 3rd, and yeah. it's Game 6 at the Garden, and you're like,
and
okay.
And you get swept 4-0, and it's like, thank you, Bruins.
I think it's natural, though. I mean, what I'm reading, what I'm seeing from everyone, it is natural to go, been there before, felt like this last year, felt like this the year before. But the one thing you can enjoy and take solace in is the ride. Like, this could be a lot uglier. It was, what, 3.5 weeks ago? We were like, man, this is not, you know, what does this guy look like? What is this, you know, Bunting's on the fourth line. What is this, you know, like, we're breaking down, as it's our job, to talk about it daily to go, hey, this is what it's looking like. It's a lot different right now. Doesn't mean it can't change the, you know, on a dime with a COVID outbreak or an injury. I mean, that's the one thing. Florida, Barkov, all of a sudden a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Point out 6 weeks. Like, you know, other teams. McKinnon's looking to come back, I think.
On Wednesday.
The Leafs
said,
on Wednesday, yeah. So, I mean, there are good teams that have had to battle through adversity. I think the Leafs said, would you say that their adversity was early in the year? I mean,
oh, I think so. I think so. The way it started. I mean, let me. I've got the schedule in front of us. Okay, so they beat Montreal opening night. It was a tight one, but still, you didn't know any better at that point. You're like, all right, the Habs were in a Cup final. Who knew the Habs would be in the position they're in? We'll get to that momentarily. Yeah. Then they lost to Ottawa, beat Ottawa at home, and then they lost four in a row: New York, San Jose, the Pittsburgh shellacking, and the Carolina beatdown. At that point, Leaf fans are like, what the hell's going on here? They looked disengaged. They didn't look like they were committed to a game plan. They couldn't score. They were getting pumped by teams
that were
dealing with COVID. They were awful. They were horrendous. And then they win in Chicago in overtime where they didn't play that well. They come back and beat Detroit on the Saturday night. Mrazek's first start didn't play that well. But to their credit, really picked up their play beyond that. And now this doesn't look like a mirage based on the way they're playing. Again, they're defending well. Their power play is good. Their PK is good. Their goaltending's been good. Their depth is showing up. Like, no one's surprised that their four big boys up front are contributing because they're all in their prime, right? Like, you expect that. You expect them to play well. Their top four defensemen last year had a very good cohesive season. They have found a bit of a rhythm here. Jack Campbell, you know, he's still relatively new to this in terms of being a starter and going every other night, but he's been very consistent for the better part of a year and a half. I think what is making Leaf fans, those that are willing to accept this for what it is, maybe puff their chest out a little bit, is David Kampf playing well. Rasmus Sandin had a great trip. Did he look good. You know, little stuff like that where you're like, wow, this guy is contributing. That guy looks good. Spez has carried it over at 38 years of age. Simmons looks like he did pre-injury last year. You know, little things like this are looking good on the Leafs. And that's a good sign. So they're back home, and they play Wednesday night against Colorado, then back on the road. Tough trip over the weekend, at Mini on Saturday, at Winnipeg on Sunday.
Dude, I don't understand that. Carolina's doing the same thing. Carolina was just touring out west. They came home. They played Philly, had one home game, and they're back at Dallas tomorrow night.
Yeah,
how the hell is that possible?
Like, I don't know. I mean,
you got
you're
brain
right.
surgeons figuring out the schedule, and then they got to go back out to Winnipeg, and man, couldn't they have just squeezed that in on the way back? It's just dumb. It doesn't make sense.
You're right, but every team has to go through it. I thought about that too. You know, you come home. I would have liked to see one more day off in between games, type of thing, just to get acclimated time zone. But everyone has to go through it.
Exactly. Yeah, but, that's the nature of the beast.
You're right. Like, excuses, there's built-in excuses. Everyone at some point during the season for everyone. When it comes to scheduling, because you're looking at going, man, we got to play 7 and 11, and there's a bunch of different time zones and, you know, travel. But ultimately, you got to find a way to at least, you know, compete in that time. And the Leafs found a way to get it done.
I think that if I'm the Leafs, I'm actually happy with this because, yes, it's going to be a crazy month, but they've banked 14 of 16 wins. They've won 7 in a row on the road. You come home against Colorado, really tough game off a road trip. Colorado's rocking right now. McKinnon comes back. But then you get the at Minnesota, at Winnipeg out of the way. They come home for three, and then they hit Western Canada and Seattle. So you're going to be at Christmas, and you're done, basically, with the West Coast. Yeah. You got to go through Colorado, Vegas, Arizona, which they do in January. By the time February 1st comes around, they're in the East Coast exclusively.
Dude, I think that's right. Important, too.
That's a good scene. I like that
is,
if I'm the Leafs.
Because you're coming down the stretch, you're like, you don't have those grueling road trips, and you don't have it weighing on you where you're saying, oh, I got to go out west and face those teams and get wins or whatever. I love the idea of getting those out of the way, Hayes. Love it.
Especially when you're hot and you're feeling good, right?
So yes.
You bank some points. And the Leafs are on a real run right now. We'll continue to discuss it throughout the afternoon. There's so much going on in the NHL. But the Jays are making noise, too. The tightest pants in baseball, Robbie Ray, heading to the Pacific Northwest. He has signed a deal in Seattle, 5 years at $115 million per.
Dude.
Are you sad that you lost him on that money? Would you,
yes,
do you believe
I
that
hate
the Jays
I
should have paid
it.
That?
Hayes,
okay,
go ahead.
You hate it. Hayes, you speak up.
Well, here's what I like about what the Leafs did, okay? So you have to get to it before you mention the Ray signing. You got to bring up that they signed Gausman yesterday. So
right.
Kevin Gausman was effectively a bizarro Robbie Ray. When you look at his numbers, and I have them in front of me here, he was a right-handed pitcher in the NL West putting up massive numbers. Robbie Ray was a left-handed pitcher putting up massive numbers in the AL East. Bizarro world Gausman, bizarro world Robbie Ray. When you look at the numbers, it's shocking how close they were and how similar they were. So you get Gausman, and I think what the Jays probably did here, which I appreciate and I like from a management standpoint, is they were proactive as opposed to holding the bag and missing out on both. I would assume they had the same offer on the table for both guys, give or take, and they basically said, whoever gets to us first, we're taken, because we're not going to be used as leverage to lose out on both of you. Gausman called them yesterday, said, we'll take it. They said, done. Sorry, Robbie. Like, you could have had – clearly, they would have given Ray the same deal Seattle gave. They're not giving Gausman 5 years at 110 and letting Robbie Ray, who they know and like, who just won a Cy Young for them, they're familiar with him and the clubhouse and all that, for effectively the same deal. Now, there's an opt-out after 3 years. Ray can opt out and move. But I like the fact that the Jays walked away with at least one piece. And I think that's the way to look at it here. Would I have preferred Ray? Yes, because I know
that's
him.
That's my point on
I know
that one.
More.
It's like, why not stick with the familiar one? Where was the breakdown where the money was very close and one guy ends up going to Seattle? After he talks about he loves the facilities, he loves Pete Walker, blah, blah, blah. Just want a Cy Young here. Where was the breakdown? I just don't understand that.
But isn't it better they got one of them? That's my point. You got
clearly,
one
but I wanted the other one. I just wanted the familiarity and I don't know. I don't like the unknown, I guess.
But you're right. But maybe the unknown is like, hey, I'm going to have a breakout year with Pete Walker. Hey, I'm going to be the guy. Like, you know, was Ray going to win back-to-back Cy Youngs? Do you believe that? Or I mean, that's a scenario.
Hey, you know what I don't want to do on a Saturday afternoon when Gausman's on the mound and he's a gas can? I hope that doesn't happen. Every single pitch I'm going to be saying, it could be Robbie Ray. Man, I wish that.
Well,
I can hear my brother right now say, man, Robbie Ray would be nice right now, wouldn't
and
he?
That's the gamble here the Jays have taken with making sure that they got a seat first, is you may get the wrong guy here, right?
But that's what I don't understand about this. And you are correct. It's better to get one than standing out the side of the road with nothing. But with that money, and it just didn't seem like a big difference, couldn't they have found a way to make the one guy that they got, Robbie Ray?
I would think so, and again, I'm with you. Now, we'll see what Atkins says. He's not going to throw Robbie Ray under the bus, and knowing the nature of this business, they're not going to be completely transparent publicly. Hopefully something comes out privately where they say, we looked at the two of them, and we actually like this guy more, because you got to remember, Robbie Ray, he caught lightning in a bottle last year. He wins a Cy Young. It was a remarkable season. He is not.
That's why he can't throw out the idea they liked him more. This guy just won the Cy Young.
I know
what
that, but it's
like
not. He's not going to replicate that. And I don't think Gausman will do what he did last year. Gausman had a very similar season. Again, let me look at these stats. Okay, Gosman's a year older. Gausman had a 2.81 ERA last year. Ray had a 2.84. Gausman 33 starts. Ray 32. Gausman 192 innings pitched. Robbie Ray 193.1. They both gave up exactly 150 hits. The exact, like, almost the same season. Gausman walked 50 guys. Ray walked 52. Now, Ray had more strikeouts. Gausman gave up less home runs. But I think they look at it. Gausman throws fastball splitter. Ray throws fastball slider. Like, I think they honestly look at it and say these guys are the same guy effectively. They're not going to have the exact same stats for the next 3 to 5 years, but I think the Jays played this well. Call up both agents and say, this is what's on the table. If one guy takes it first, the other guy we're out on. Because I don't think it's a coincidence Ray quickly signed the Seattle deal the next day, because I'll bet you his agent called him up and said, the Jays are out, and the other teams are out. Seattle's deal's still on the table. You better grab that thing quick. And he did. So would I have preferred Ray over Gausman? Yes. Does it mean Ray will be better than Gausman? No. And does it mean Gausman is some plug? No. Like, Gausman's a good live arm that had a spectacular season last year, and he adds to a rotation with Barrios, Ryu, Manoa. Now you got a 1-4 that is pretty stacked and pretty intact for the foreseeable future. So, you know, I like the fact that the Jays were proactive here and made sure they got one guy, and that's how I'm looking at it. Furthermore, with Ray signing in Seattle, they get the compensatory pick because they qualified him. So they get a pick from Seattle.
Dude, and what is that pick, a 10th-round pick?
No, it's like in the second round. You know, I'd have to look it up. It'll be in the 30s, give or take, but it's worth something. Like, they could get a player there. And you get Gausman on a 5-year deal as opposed to potentially Ray opting out after 3. So, you know, I love Robbie Ray. I'm not down on Ray because he's in Seattle. I was all for bringing back Robbie Ray, but it would be a much darker time in Toronto if Ray signed in Seattle, Gausman re-signed in San Fran, and the Jays are like, what are we doing now?
What if Gausman shows up with the tightest
he
pants?
He should.
Just
wouldn't that
troll.
Be great?
That's what I always thinking about.
Tightest
guy
pants
wants,
on earth.
If he wants to win over fans right away, this guy shows up with the just painted-on pants.
Yes.
Right away.
Dude, the only thing he's
got to
do, Noodles, he just cannot show up with the Tanner Roark Pro Barrel and throwing absolute pizzas down the middle. I can't do it. There'll be a hate on immediately if it's Roarkville.
What if Robbie Ray has a 4.80 ERA next year?
I'm telling you, there's something about Robbie Ray. It bothers me that he just, like, that. The money's similar. It's like, why isn't it Robbie Ray? For some reason, it's bothering me that it's not Robbie Ray. And it's the fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
You basically know what you're getting when Robbie Ray's steps up to the mound. It's like, okay, you're going to get a quality start, lots of strikeouts. It's going to be entertainment. And the Jays are going to have a really good chance to win.
Well,
I have no idea what the hell this guy's going to bring to the table.
Well, again, Gausman
seen him enough. The name to me is not even familiar, Hayes.
Well, he was in Baltimore for a while, and he got lit up. Like, he was a guy, it took him a while to find his. 2 years ago in the shortened season, he had a really good year. He accepted the qualifying offer to stay in San Fran, and last year he was unreal. He had 227 Ks last year. Like, Robbie Ray had 248, but this is not a guy who's coming in and trying to make contact or a ground ball pitcher. Like, this guy throws smoke. He throws smoke.
And
he strikes guys out.
You can call them both reclamation projects, but I want to trust the one that I've already seen and gone
and it
through
worked
with
here.
Them.
I understand that. There's always a gamble.
There's no guarantee that Robbie Ray would show up again this year and not look like the Robbie Ray from 2 years ago.
Exactly.
I mean, that's, you know, Pete Walker sounds like he's a whisperer. So, you know, which is, I mean, something that has to be factored in. Sometimes, you know, pitching coaches and coaches that help out specialty situations, those guys don't get enough credit. And then the player moves on and he goes back to or regresses back to what he was before he arrived. So we'll see if Robbie Ray can maintain that level or close to it when he goes to Seattle.
Well, exactly. And listen, Robbie Ray had a spectacular year. Credit to him. Marcus Semien takes a 7-year, $175 million deal down in Texas.
That's ridiculous. There's one more that's more ridiculous. It's what the Mets did today. That, to me, is the dumbest, desperate thing I've ever seen. And I love Scherzer more than anybody. But to give him $130 million over 3 years, that reeks of desperation to give that guy the most money of anybody in baseball, and you're probably going to get the worst 3 years of his career. How dumb are you?
It's the Mets. The owner wasn't going to accept them striking out. They were in on guys. Apparently, they've been in on everyone, like always, and they haven't been able to acquire anybody. $43.3 million per year for Scherzer. Now, his stats last year were phenomenal. When he went to L.A., this guy was better than any arm in baseball. The question becomes, you know, in year two, I think next year he'll be a rock star. And him and DeGrom at the top of your rotation is gross. Like, that's gross. DeGrom and Scherzer, I think next year will be the best 1-2 punch in baseball, and I don't think it'll be close. I don't think anyone will be even within the same stratosphere as those two. Question becomes year two, year three, because he's up there in age. He is up there in age.
Dude, imagine him sitting, we got to fly, but imagine sitting at your wife at the dinner table saying, we got to hang around for three more. They're giving us three more, and we're going to throw 180, 130 million in our jeans.
I know.
What do you think? Yeah, okay.
I know.
Yeah.
No, exactly. Like, it's a pretty clear. I don't know if Scherzer wanted to go to the Mets, but how do you
turn
that down?
Dude, I guarantee you the Dodgers had similar money on the table for him, too. I don't know why he didn't stay in L.A. I guarantee you the money wasn't that different last year.
The way the Dodgers splash, it wouldn't surprise me. But anyway, the Jays, again, have been active over the course of the weekend. Simeon leaves. That leaves a big hole in the lineup. Big hole at second base. What do the Jays do there? It's not a surprise, though. They were never going to dance with that. 7 years at 70, $175 million. They're not going there when they know they got to pay Vladdy, Bo, Teoscar Hernandez. These guys, that's the core of their team offensively. And Simeon, I think, knew that as well. So we'll see what Steve Phillips has to say on that. We will catch up with Craig Button. Craig will be in studio at 5 o'clock. Get his take on Bergevin out in Montreal. The Brady Tkachuk, Brendan Lemieux fiasco.
Yeah, that was...
Ovi dominating. Evander Kane on waivers. Will he ever play in the NHL again? There's so much to get into today. And the NFL, we got a Monday nighter tonight. I'm on the clock making the pick. You guys went 1-2 yesterday. You're starting to move in the right direction.
Excuse
Feeling
me,
good
I
about your pick tonight?
I think we're on the clock. We're on the clock.
No, you had the 1 o'clock in the Sunday nighter. You flipped the coin and took the Browns last night.
Anyway, we'll get back into that.
We'll figure it out. I'll give you the game if you want. I hate picking this game tonight. But if it's me, it's me. We'll see what Al's brother can tell us about that a little bit later on. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Monday Nighter tonight, Seattle taking on Washington. We'll tee that up a little bit later in the hour. Al's brother will be in here for our Monday night pick. And there's a lot going on in the NFL, a lot going on in the NHL as well. We will spend a good portion of the 5 p.m. hour on both. Craig Button will join us on Bergevin and basically the whole front office being out in Montreal. Brady Tkachuk, Brendan Lemieux, the Leafs have won 14 of 16. There's a lot going on, man. Alex Ovechkin arguably winning the Hart if it were handed out today, which I think would have surprised a lot of people 2 months ago. But we could be within... 48 hours, give or take, 24, 48 hours of a lockout in Major League Baseball, work stoppage, whichever way you want to define it. So the money's flying around before, you know, the clock strikes midnight, and the Jays have been the forefront of a lot of this, but huge money being splashed around. Max Scherzer getting paid, Marcus Simeon getting paid, Robbie Ray goes to Seattle, Kevin Gausman comes to Toronto, and to chat about it, we're joined now by our TSN Blue Jays and MLB analyst Steve Phillips. Steve, let's begin with where the Jays stand here, specifically with the rotation. They signed Kevin Gausman to a 5-year deal at $110 million total. He comes in effectively replacing Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray signing in Seattle for 5 years at $115 million. What do you make of the change of complexion of the rotation, Gausman in, Ray out? How do you feel about the Jays today compared to where they were yesterday?
Yeah, it's really close. I have Kevin Gausman and Robbie Ray in the very similar ballpark. I had Ray slotted ahead just barely, but I like both of them. I thought the price, the number would come in pretty close. I'm a little surprised that just $1 million a year is what separated the Jays from Ray, but from what I understand and reaching out making some calls, that I think what ended up happening was Robbie Ray's camp tried to play it like they had more from somewhere to try to get the Jays to chase it. And the Jays looked at it and said, we may not go to where he wants to go, and we don't want to lose out on plan B because plan B is really close to plan A, and that's Gausman. Let's go ahead and get him because what the worst case scenario would be, Ray goes elsewhere, gets a number that they can't chase, and then they lose out on Gausman. And so, you know, from every source I've talked to, they offered Ray a 5 at 110, and it sounded like from his camp that there was more coming, and they thought, you know what, we're not going to chase too much more when we like the other guy just about as much. And so they're pretty similar guys in many ways, in just the path of their careers. They both showed flashes early, had some struggles. For Gausman, he really scrapped the two-seam fastball, went to the four-seamer, added velocity. He's throwing 97, 96, 97, 98 up in the zone. And then he throws the split, which is the single most swing and missed at pitch this year. He had 272 swings and misses on his split this year. The next closest pitch that a pitcher got swings and misses was at 240. So he was by far the most significant swing and miss pitch of any pitcher in baseball with his split finger fastball. And he's going to be an effective pitcher. I like him. He's a competitive guy. He's got some athleticism to it. And so, look, he's right-handed. You know, you don't have the same balance with a left-hander in the rotation, but I think that they're pretty darn close to being the same with the pitching staff if they had signed Robbie Ray.
So, Steve, just let me help me understand this a little bit better, because I'm somewhat irritated that it's not Ray and it's Gausman. So he tried to bluff them and say that there was an offer that really wasn't there, and that the Jays wouldn't have gone back and said, look, this is our final offer. They just said, screw this, we're going to plan B, and we're getting Gausman. Because I look at this, and you could probably understand it from a casual fan's perspective. You're like, if they're both the same, why not the guy that was here that just won the Cy Young? Why isn't it Robbie Ray? And I find that kind of irritating.
Yeah, so I don't know the exact back and forth of the negotiations. What I do know is there was a sense that Ray may have overplayed his hand and chased him away. And right now, we see the clock ticking. The other thing that there seemed to be an indication of is that Robbie Ray was going to wait this out, that he wasn't going to sign before December 1st. He had not even visited the Angels yet. And so there was the thought that he was going to be the guy to slow play it and wait until after. And then went in. And so the Jays were in a position, do we wait out Robbie Ray for him to go through all of his due diligence with the Angels and everything, not get a guy signed before December 1st, and then lose out on Ray and Gausman signed somewhere else? And so I think that was the other part in this, is that once the thought of it was that Ray's camp was going to wait, and they were not rushing to get a deal done by December 1st like everybody else seems to be doing. He had not visited the Angels, and I think in that indication, the idea that they were going to wait and lose out on Ray and then not have Gausman available, and they struck where they needed to. And so I think the other indication was from the Jays, from Ray's camp, was that he was slow playing it. And at that point, I don't blame the Jays for pulling the trigger the way that they did.
That's smart business.
That's exactly the way I was looking at it yesterday and today, thinking it over. Like, if I'm management, you got to have one of these guys. You got to. And even if it's a poker game, Steve, you know this. You lived it, man. You know what it's like. You can think you've got the information, but maybe you're being played. And the fact is, if Ray was going to sign in Seattle, Gausman re-signs in San Fran, and the Jays are sitting there with nothing, all of a sudden you got to go up there and probably acquire some big fish via trade and give up some of your capital within the organization. So I like the way they played it. Would I have preferred Ray? Sure. But Gausman's nothing to sneeze at. I think he steps in here and solidifies their rotation 1-4, and now they focus on the back end of the rotation, which I believe will be their priority moving forward. But they've also got other holes in the lineup based on what else happened over the course of the weekend. Marcus Semien signs a 7-year, $175 million deal in Texas, and I'm just seeing Jeff Passan reporting breaking news. Corey Seager has signed in Texas. 10 years, $325 million.
Jesus.
10 years, $325 million. So what it immediately makes me think is Simeon's playing second base in Texas.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen there.
So what was that all about?
Well, I think that I think they signed Semien with the conversation. Remember, they have Isaiah Kanafalefa, who's a really good defender at shortstop. He won the Gold Glove at third base the year before, or second in Gold Glove to Chapman, but a really solid defender. And so I think they looked at it and said, if we get Semien, we can play him at short if we want. If we get Seager, we'll move Semien to second. And look, when someone's paying you $175 million and they tell you to stand on your head in the corner, you're like, oh, okay, yeah,
exactly.
All right, I'll go do that. I mean, and so, I mean, this is a bold, I mean, $32.5 million a year for 10 years. I would not give Corey Seager a 10-year deal. He's got back issues. I love him. I think he's a great player. But they, in order to get him, they went above and beyond in the number of years. And so I'm a little surprised they went that high, both in dollars and in years. And here's the thing. They're not going to win this year. They're not. They're still a third-place team in the American League West, maybe a fourth-place team. They have John Gray at the front of the rotation, and that's it. So they're spending a lot of money, but they've got a lot more to spend if they're going to be competitive. And it's going to have to come to pitching, and a lot of the better pitchers are off the board right now. So it's a bold contract, man. And here's the thing. So can somebody tell me what's wrong with the system on the player side? Like, they're the ones who seem to have complaints about the system. Like, Jesus. The owners aren't saying, well, we got to change this, we have to change that, we have to change that. The players are. And I keep wondering, like, where's the problem here? Like, can somebody identify for me where there's a problem? We are going to shatter the record this winter in signings for free agent players. We're going to, $2.1 billion was the number from 2019 to 2020. We're going to shatter that this year. And, I mean, you're seeing old players get money, young players get money, middle-aged players. I mean, in baseball age, it doesn't matter. Pitchers, position players, they're all getting the money. It's amazing to me that anybody would think there's a problem with the system that they're currently being employed under.
The Rangers just handed out $500 million in, like, 24 hours. 500 sheets. That's the Rangers. Yeah. That's not the Yankees. Well, that's not the Dodgers.
And more than that. Now you throw in Gray and you throw in Cole Calhoun.
Right. I was thinking just Simeon and Seager, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, $560 million in a weekend. That's a good weekend.
Pretty good.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Steve, hearing these stories about the contracts, and it bugs me because you just think of, and I go back to Robbie Ray where it was a good fit. He seemed like a good guy. If it would, like, to make more sense of it, would you eliminate the agent and just sit down with the general manager and the player and just say, look, does this make sense to you? Like, it just seems like there's somebody gets involved to make it greasy. Like, when I hear these stories, Robbie Ray doesn't seem like the guy that would be greasy and be like, let's try to get $10 million out of this. I just wonder how the hell it happens. What happens? Does the agents get involved and then the greed just seeps into it, or what happens?
Yeah, you know, they come up with strategy and then tactics within the negotiation. And, you know, I think the notion of waiting it out and playing it out a little bit until all the other pitchers are off the board and then we could be the only game in town, I get why there's some level of that that's attractive. But when everybody else is signing now and a lot of the money that's available is being spent, You can be available after the deal's collective bargaining agreement's done, but what money's left at that point if everybody's spending it now? And so I think there was a pivot there for them to sign after the Gausman deal. They realized they better try to get a deal now, and it was too late for them. And you can't go around the agent. You cannot cut the agent out of it. You're not allowed to do it. It's a violation. You have to negotiate with the agent. You can say, you know, I'd like to get together with you and the player to have a conversation, because I will tell you that I always worried that my message, really, you might, like, you know, we relay our message and, you know, we do that game where I'll tell, you know, you something, then you tell the next guy, you tell the next guy, you tell the next guy, and we'll try to figure out what was said at the end, and it's completely different. And so having a third person sending my message to the player in explaining my position, I always worry about that, right? That the tone and tenor is not going to be the way I meant it to be, but it's the unfortunate nature of the system. And look, you know, and I've accepted, look, agents, they're just doing their job, you know, but remember, the other thing for the state of Seattle, the state of Washington has no state income tax. So there is some benefit to pitching, you know, for the Mariners beyond the money that he got, that it's really worth more otherwise. But I think that their strategy and tactics on the Rays camp side of it really cost him. He doesn't want to be in Seattle. There's no way he wants to be there. He'd rather be. I think he'd rather be in Toronto. I wondered, did he just not want to go north of the border? That wasn't it. I think they misplayed it, and it ended up that he's going somewhere else.
Yeah, Robbie Ray going to Seattle on a 5-year deal at $115 million. Kevin Gausman here in Toronto, 5 years at $110. Marcus Simeon going to Texas, 7 years at $175. Corey Seager leaving the Dodgers, going to Texas. This just came in, breaking news, 10 years, $325 million. Man, it's Verlander back to Houston. The AL West is just like living in a different stratosphere in terms of finances right now. But there's still big names out there, and there's still some holes to be filled here with the Jays. So next time we get you on, we'll break all that down, and chances are we'll be mid-lockout or stoppage in play or work stoppage, whatever you want to call it, Steve. So we'll do it again down the road. Thank you, buddy.
All right, you got it. My pleasure, guys.
Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst. So with Simeon leaving, it opens up a hole at second base. Maybe Kevin Biggio returns to that position, opens up a position at third. But I think the Jays, you know, in terms of their 1-4 in the rotation, they're very strong. I think they can put that up against any team in the AL East. And now you go Springer into Bichette into Vladdy into Teoscar, 1-4 in the lineup, you're fine. You know, you're still going to have power. You're going to produce runs. You still got Gurriel, whoever you're playing a catcher every day. You're going to have, I guess, Grichuk maybe and Wright. We'll see what happens there. But Biggio, if he stays healthy, I think could still be a player for them. They're a really good team, and they're in a win-now mode.
I don't think you would have thought we would be saying about their starting rotation going into next year, Hayes, that our boy on I-95 would be one of the question marks of it.
Yeah, Hyunjin Ryu, as of now, is probably their third or fourth starter, depending on Alek Manoah coming out.
Depending on how he looks, like, who knows if he's going to be a gas can. He was terrible coming down the stretch.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You've got Barrios locked in for 7 years. You've got Gausman for 5, and you got Manoah under team control for, I believe, another five or six. So those three, you know what you've got. And Hyunjin Ryu's got 2 more years on his deal. They're not going to want any more than that anyway. You know, with all due respect, you try to get everything you can out of them the final 2 years, and then you're probably going to turn that leaf over. But, you know, we'll see. The Jays they're in the game. They're splashing money around, and there's still a lot more to be had throughout baseball. Yeah. So we'll get more into this a little bit later this afternoon. Craig Button coming up in about 20 minutes on the Leafs Red Hot. Changes in Montreal. There's so much going on in the NHL. We'll get into it the Monday Nighter tonight as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Craig Button will join us in studio in about 10 minutes. It's the easiest way to win Raptors tickets. Follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050. At TSN 1050 on Instagram. Find our latest giveaway post and tag who you would bring to see the Raptors take on Sacramento, plus a $100 vanilla Visa prepaid card from Petro Canada. Winner will be announced Tuesday on First Up. So jump on Instagram. We love that. Raptors tickets, gift cards. You know we support that. And winner tomorrow morning on First Up. I'm on marching orders right now, just about checking my door every 5 minutes as if I'm not working. Well, because
Amazon?
We have so many deliveries coming to the house. Like my wife this morning, she's like, I needed to check every break. I'm like, who's coming to take, you know, a stuffy or something?
Believe me, there are idiots out there. I caught somebody.
No way. Someone tried to grab something like a pirate from your front door?
Well, I caught them on the cameras and talked to them about it, and they
were... good for you.
Yeah, two jackasses, one on a bike.
There is videos flying around of people that just wait for anything to be dropped off. Like, I don't know. The world's just a dumpster fire.
Like, I'm not surprised based on the like how many things are being delivered now. Like, when you consider
But you just said it, Hayes. Who wants to get home and open up the package that they just sold and find three stuffies?
That's it. Like, if you
what
take
you
something
do
from
with
us,
that?
It's like a shirt from the Gap or something that's for a six-year-old. Go, like, what do you think you're achieving at my house? You know, we're not, it's not like we have so many cool things being dropped off.
Yeah, it wasn't a giant Louis Vuitton bag that was, you know, labeled or whatever. Like, you're right. It's just, there are losers out there that have nothing better to do.
They're
floating around, and these two dopes happened to be on a bike. One was on a bike. They rolled up. The other one walked up the driveway, and I saw him coming up, had a conversation.
Little man conversation? Hey, what are you doing there?
I did have a man conversation.
Oh, boy.
And luckily I wasn't home, because they would have received a little bit more than just a verbal assault.
Yeah. So,
if you are a man, just go with me, and I will tell a man conversation with you.
Yeah, it was just something else, man. Something else.
That is,
to witness,
man. It's a violation. Like, it really is. Yeah. You know, they're outside your house. You're like, get the hell out of here. But
listen,
maybe that's the pep talk I needed. Maybe I need to get up there after every break and be checking things out, which I am anyway. I'm on marching orders, and I got to make sure I, you know, take care of business here. But so Raptors take a giveaway courtesy of TSN 1050. You can follow us on Instagram, tag someone you'd want to bring to the game, and the announcement will be tomorrow. Scotty Barnes, man, he got a quick hook last night. I love that, though. I love Nick Nurse being like, talk about marching orders. Don't turn the ball over. Get back and defend. Pick up your man. And if you're not going to do it, you know, with where the season's going, the Raptors are teetering here. You know,
dude,
like the East is
they're losing to bad
running.
Teams now, man.
Yeah, they're in a bad place. You know, this is what they are, though. They're a young team, inexperienced team. Their veterans are good, but not great when you deal with injuries, which is what they have. OG's been out for a while. Ken Burch is out. You know, Watanabe comes in and out of the lineup. He's been basically not available all year. You're struck. Their bench is the worst bench in the league. They're not defending well. They're in a tough spot, bad spot, not a good team right now. So what do?
Lessons.
Jump on the guys that you have to. Yeah, coach.
Exactly. Coaching. I mean, I have no problem with that. This is This is some hard lessons along the way. This is the process that they're going through. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody expected the Toronto Raptors to win this year. They expected them to grow, compete. I think we've said how many times. 500 is kind of what we're expecting.
That's what you're shooting for. Then maybe you're a wild card team and you play a big game.
Exactly.
Right?
They got to give Fred VanVleet a break on talking after the games. Like, he's going to lose it. It's every game he's got to go on with
he's
this sob
leader,
story.
Right?
I get it, but, like, give the guy a break. Somebody else speak.
That's the nature of the way they operate at MLSE. With the Leafs, it's like the same four or five guys. With the Raptors, it's the same. It's basically Fred. Like,
dude,
VanVleet's
I know, but
like
it's not fair to him.
One.
Every game, it's just Fred out there. Like, when I watch Lindsay and Kara, it's like, oh, here's Fred VanVleet. Every game?
Every game, I know.
No way.
He's the guy. You're right. You got to let him kind of just bypass a game or two and let him speak at shootaround tomorrow, you know, or practice tomorrow, because he's fried right now. And he came up when he came up, they were a winning team, man. And they were chasing championships, and they got one. And now the last year or so, give or take, has been tough, you know, in terms of being a guy who wants to win as much as VanVleet does. They're not in that position to do it right now. All right, Craig Button, Marcellus Wiley in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
This hour of the Overdrive podcast was brought to you by Felix. Erectile dysfunction treatment online. Felix can connect you to a doctor to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.